Keeping a stiff upper lip may be the right remedy for certain situations, but therapist Jude Bijou is convinced that keeping that sadness, anger, and fear unexpressed leads to some bad attitudes. Bijou describes her theory and her pathway to improve the situation in her book, Attitude Reconstruction, A Blueprint for Building a Better Life. You can join us here on The Exchange at 800-838-3760 or in the Medford-Ashland area, 541-552-6782. And, of course, you can join the live broadcast by email as well, jx@jeffnet.org. Ms. Bijou is a respected psychotherapist, a professional educator, and a workshop leader. She's been a longtime student of Eastern philosophy, and her theory of attitude reconstruction has evolved over a 30-year-plus career working with clients as a licensed marriage and family therapist. Jude Bijou, welcome to The Exchange this morning.
Thank you, Milt. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, let me ask you, what was the driving force for you to write the book? Is it a theory that you have developed over all these years you've worked with clients?
Yes, that's exactly it. It started because as a child, I just wasn't happy, and I knew that there should be an owner's manual somewhere that I should be able to be happy, but I just wasn't. And so as I went through, as you described, my scientific background and then going to meditation in the East and then becoming a therapist, psychotherapist, that all of those factors had to come together. And what I discovered was the realm of emotions and that the way we think correlates with our emotions and the way we feel correlates with our emotions and the way we act and the way we talk. And it just started to come together and come together. And first it was a blueprint. I call it the blueprint of the mind. And that's a one-page thing that is at the beginning of the book on the front cover and on the back cover so that you can identify where am I and I don't want to feel sadness, anger, and fear. Here's how to feel the opposites, joy, love, and peace.
With our emotions, as human beings, do we have a tendency to get caught in kind of a, I'll call it a feedback loop, where we relied on certain emotions, whether they work or not, and we just jump to those whenever a situation happens?
I think that that's true. We really developed very young, by the age of two or three. We sort of saw what our parents were doing, and as well, we have our own unique emotional constitution, and we sort of fall back on those and develop ways to compensate for them, some of which work very well, and a lot of them don't. They keep us from feeling those emotions of joy, love, and peace.
One of the things you mentioned in your book is emoting constructively. What does that mean?
Well, that means that we can't destroy anything of value. That's one thing. So we do it because it's energy inside of ourselves that we need to move out of our body. Like emotions are emotion, energy in motion. So it's just a pure sensation in the body. So we need to move the energy out of our body. And at the same time, what makes it constructive is that we don't indulge all of that old thinking, oh, I'll never feel better, oh, that person's a jerk. That I could pound or I could shiver or I could cry, and if my thinking isn't supporting just that pure release of the energy, I'm going to continue to feel the old way. But if we park our mind to something that's constructive and do what we need in our body, then the energy just passes almost like magic.
Do people have a hard time recognizing some of their negative emotions?
Well, the nice thing is that there's really only three physiologies, three to pick from, sadness, anger, and fear. So we have a lot of feelings. I can feel anxious, but what's underneath it? What's the physiology with anxiety or nervousness? It's that fear. It's that agitation where our hands get cold and we feel our heart rate increasing. The emotion is fear, and that feels very different. That energy of fear, very different from when we feel the emotion of anger. That's when we want to strike out and hit and destroy and so on. And that very different, sadness, is a very different than anger or fear. Sadness is that heaviness, that down. So when we only have three to pick from, then it really becomes easy.
Jude Bijou is a licensed marriage and family therapist, more than 30 years of experience. She's written a new book called Attitude Reconstruction, A Blueprint for Building a Better Life. And if you're somebody who's experiencing some sadness, some anger or fear, or know someone who is, and you'd like to move to a healthier place, you can give us a call and ask her a question this morning in the Medford-Ashland area, 541-552-6782, anywhere in the state of Jefferson, 800-838-3760, or of course online, you can submit a question as well, our email, jx@jeffnet.org. You have actually, Jude, a step-by-step process, don't you, for moving from this sort of negative emotion space to something more positive?
Yes, I've learned that there are five different ways, I call them our five tools, that we can use to move from sadness, anger, and fear, and all of the ways that we've developed to compensate for not expressing those emotions, to their opposites. So we can use our, by expressing our emotions, which I'm sure we'll talk more about today, but we can also use our thinking. We can, what I say, rewire our thinking from those thoughts that don't serve us to something that'll take us and support us toward feeling better. So we can use our emotions to make changes. We can use our thoughts. We can use our intuition. And our intuition just really means listening to our gut, listening to our heart, listening within rather than being caught, like you were saying, in our heads and being logical. What do we know really deep down? So that's the third thing. When we start to listen to ourselves, that's the third way we can get out of the kind of habits, those attitudes we've developed with that go with sadness, anger, and fear.
I think a lot of us probably think that our attitudes are based on logic, but in your experience, is that not the case?
It's not the case. They all go back to emotions. What I found as I was doing my own therapy and as I counsel people, is that we're all thinking the same thing. It seems like we're all going around, oh, I'm the only person who thinks this way, or I'm so down on myself. But if I go to the next person and the next person, everybody has basically the same kind of thoughts. So it's almost like a piano or some instrument where there's just keys, but we're all basically thinking the same thing. Some are fear-based kind of thoughts, some are anger thoughts, and some are sadness thoughts. Those are the kind of thoughts that don't serve us. Now, we also have thoughts that bring us more love, absolutely. It's not that we only have problems. We also feel good. So we have thoughts that increase the amount of joy we feel or increase the amount of peace we feel as well.
We're speaking with Jude Bijou this morning and her book, Attitude Reconstruction. It's a blueprint for how you can improve the way you feel about things and how you think about things as well. And we'll be back to take some of your questions for her. And first, we're going to take a little short break. I'm speaking with Jude Bijou this morning. She is the author of Attitude Reconstruction, A Blueprint for Building a Better Life. She is a professional therapist who has worked with clients for more than 30 years, and she's written a book that talks about how our emotions can sometimes lead us into some pretty negative things like sadness, anger, and fear, but there is a process for working out of that and coming to a point where you have more joy, love, and peace in your life. Jude, I was going to ask one thing that I really enjoyed in your book, where you gave the example of how when we're children, we have no trouble as babies expressing ourselves and how we feel. How do you translate that into a productive expression when you're an adult?
Well, that's true. We receive so many messages, you know, and when, by the time we were 1, 2 years old, you know, don't cry, I'll give you something to cry about, or big boys don't cry, or girls aren't pretty when they're angry. We then had to internalize it and figure out ways that we were going to compensate. But what I say is we go back, because attitude reconstruction is based on a very naturalistic approach. So we go back to what we did as a child, and that doesn't mean we have a temper tantrum in the middle of the supermarket. We need to find someplace safe. And if it's a work, maybe we go into the bathroom and we have a little bit of a cry, because crying is the natural thing to do when we feel sadness. Crying is appropriate for hurts and losses. So we need to go and allow ourselves to cry. And I know that's so hard, because we have so many messages that say we shouldn't. But it feels so good to get washed clean.
Just to let that out.
Let it out.
Dennis is on the line from Eugene. Go ahead, Dennis.
Yeah, say, I have a question. You said to think with your heart and not use logic. Did you mean that figuratively, or, really mean that?
Well, it's a balance. It's a balance. But rather than being so outward focused, like, well, what does everybody else think, or what are the pros and cons, in order to have a really solid foundation to make decisions, it needs to feel right within ourselves. So it's turning around. It's, what I say, pausing and maybe closing your eyes and saying, well, how does that, I'm thinking of going in this direction, how does it feel? Does that feel right, or does that feel not so clear? Do I not have that peaceful feeling when I think about what I'm going to do? So it's using that to check out what kind of action to take.
Do you understand that you can't think with your heart?
Absolutely.
A heart is not capable of thinking.
No, I think of them as about a foot away. The heart is a feeling sense, and the thinking is the thoughts, is the mind. Absolutely.
Well, you need to check out your science a little bit. I don't think you have a very good understanding of human physiology.
Well, thanks for your call, Dennis. I think you're speaking metaphorically, of course, aren't you, Jude?
Absolutely.
Getting in touch with the emotions, one of the things I was going to ask you about, kind of leading into that, is intuition. I guess as a society, there was a time where we said that, there was female intuition and men didn't have any, and so we sort of stereotype things in that way. Are people very good at getting in touch with their intuition, no matter what sex they are?
It doesn't matter about what sex we are, because it's what I was just describing. It is that inner feeling. It has to feel okay inside. But a lot of times we can't hear, and that's because of those unexpressed emotions, that sadness, that anger. We're too angry to really be able to hear what's going on and what's really true for ourselves. Our thinking is overriding it. Or our fear, or that emotion, is going in, so much pervading our awareness that we can't. So, what do I really need to do now?
If you've had some negative experiences where you thought you were trusting your intuition when you were younger, as you've gone through life, and then how do you develop a trust in your own intuition?
Little by little, because it is something about we need to start going and using that. That's the only thing we really know for sure is what is true for ourselves. And so we need to start testing it out, and we can do it with very little things. It's taking that pause and going, what do I want for dinner? Rather than, I need checklist, this, or I had this last night. This. No, it's like, what does my body want? What would really feel right? So you can start in little ways and work up. And because you're not negating your mind, your thinking, but what you're doing is using both to support each other. So it's like, am I going to quit my job or take a new job? It's not just pros and cons. It's like, what feels right? When I'm in a quiet place, what feels right? Do I get that good feeling that this is the right thing, even though it might be scary, that this is the right thing to do? We need to have that inner compass that's working for us. And if we can't hear it, I say, deal with a little bit of fear. Deal with a little bit of anger. Deal with a little sadness. And then you can start to hear a little bit better.
All right. We have a caller inward from Ashland, and you're on the line. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, I was just thinking that the other caller talking about your science is off. I was thinking it's not really a science. It's a philosophy that kind of goes along with Gurdjieff,
uh-huh,
with the Russian guy back in a long time ago.
Well, it does really combine East and West, attitude reconstruction does.
Yeah.
But it,
well, he used three circles. He says you have to we're comprised of three circles. One is a thinking circle, one is a feeling circle, and one is an acting circle. And you have to use a thinking circle, but it's got to be the same size and connected with the other two circles to create a balanced individual. Sometimes we'll see people that have a really big thinking circle, and they wear big glasses and they're out of shape, or you see somebody in super good shape but they got a pinhead, and you see other people that are just crying all the time, you know. And so it's like you keep those circles, or those spheres or whatever, you keep them the same size and keep them connected, and then you can be a whole person.
That's lovely. I 100% agree with that. That's just beautiful. They have to be in balance. We can't just rely on one and then, like you say, be a pinhead or be a action monger. We need all three of those to be in balance.
All right. Thank you for your comment. And let me ask a little bit about truth, because a couple of people have sort of mentioned that. You mentioned in your book that I guess you're not, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're not a big fan of these affirmations where people do like positive affirmations. You think that saying truths is a better pathway. Is that correct?
That's right. That if an affirmation is what we wish or what we want, like an affirmation might be, I see only peace and love around me. Now, that might be true, but more than likely we could be seething inside or agitated, or I'm over the fear that I never have, that I always have enough, or that I'll never have enough. Like, those are affirmations. We wish we were those ways. But I think that, and what I've learned, is that if we start to think instead things that are accurate, things that are unequivocally true, that's what will bring us the power. So one thing, and it's wonderful, especially if we feel a lot of frustration. Frustration is a feeling, and underneath that is that emotion of anger. And one of the best things, one of the best truths to offset those kind of feelings is this truth. People and things are the way they are, not the way I want them to be.
So you learn to say some things positive to as a reaction, and I don't know if reaction is the right word, but you don't just instantly react with your emotions. You're actually, in some cases, I guess, trying to react with some logic to how people present themselves.
Yes, in the book, that what I have compiled is a list of what I call reliable truths. So maybe there's 10 or 15 that go with about yourself that are true. Some things like what I'm seeking is within me. So rather than looking outside, what I'm really looking for, that fulfillment, is within me. Or if I knew then what I know now, I might have done it differently. Like, those are nice truths. That's true rather than, I blew it or whatever. So we identify the destructive thoughts that we think over and over, and we look for the contradiction that is true, and we repeat it over and over. Like, I tell clients, 100,000 reps will be just about it. But, it's just you put two or three truths that offset your negative thinking. You put them in on a card and you put them in your pocket, and you start to think it over and over and over, so it just becomes automatic.
That's part of that attitude reconstruction.
Absolutely. I notice what I'm doing that isn't serving me, isn't taking me towards joy, love, and peace, and I'm substituting something that contradicts that old kind of thinking and takes me more feeling good about myself, feeling good about the world and other people, feeling good about being in time and space.
We're visiting today with Jude Bijou. She is the author of Attitude Reconstruction, A Blueprint for Building a Better Life. She is a licensed professional family therapist, marriage and family therapist with more than 30 years of experience. And her book is designed to help move you from negative emotions like sadness, anger, and fear to a more positive space, joy, love, and peace. We're taking your questions. If you have one for her, give us a call this morning. Anywhere in the state of Jefferson, 800 800- 838-3760, or in the Medford Ashland area, 541-552-6782, or of course you can send us something by email, jx@jeffnet.org. One of the things that you outlined in your book, I believe if it was five steps, correct me if I'm wrong, but the steps that someone can take to move from that negative to a more positive space. Could you outline those tools for us?
Yes. The first tool, which I'd love for us to talk a little bit more about, is that handling those emotions physically and constructively. That is really, what I'd say, five tools. That's the first tool. Because I'd like to talk a minute about how to deal with that fear, because it's such a prevalent issue for most of us. And fear, of course, is natural. It's human. But we're not handling it in a very constructive way. And so I say, what is a, if we use again that model of what does a dog do when it's afraid? Like it's at the vet's, and it's, what is it? It's behind the chair, and it's shivering and shaking and, you know, cowering. That's what the body does. Or when we're in shock, when we're in an auto accident, what is the body doing? It's shaking and shivering. That's fear. We feel like our survival is being threatened. And so I say we need to become shaking and shivering fools. And it sounds so weird until we try it a few times and see that, my gosh, it really works.
And it's a natural reaction.
It's a natural reaction, but we're not used to it. Again, we're so, what we do when we feel fear is we tighten up instead of shaking it out. So for me, it's up, the, you know, you stand up, or you can do it sitting or lying down, but up the, you know, up the spine, you're wiggling, woo, making sounds, woo, and out the arms, and in the, you know, now I'm shaking one leg, and now I'm shaking. It's like getting out all of that energy. It's like, woo, so it's just energy. Again, it doesn't, I don't need to think anything besides, woo, I'm just scared, woo, 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 my neck, roll that around, and woo, 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 woo. And it sounds so strange, but when we try it, it's like all of a sudden, oh, I feel so much more peaceful.
It releases something.
It moves the energy out of our bodies. Emotion, energy in motion. Moving the energy out makes space for the opposite emotion, and that, for fear, is peace. And so we feel that calmness. And this is especially important if we can't sleep at night. And I know that, you know, I hear it all the time from clients. And that is, when you can't sleep, you get out of bed and you shake, go in the bathroom, shake and shiver for literally 90 seconds. You know, a hard, you know, it's like, woo, 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 you know, like, again, like something, like you have to do something scary, woo, 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 and you let it out. And I found that when I was had counseled some people who were actors in L.A., that they were actually taught that in acting school, in acting class, of how to shake and shiver, and then they could hear and remember their lines better because they weren't all tightened up. But so that's just one of the best tools. And again, that's using the first tool of dealing with our emotions constructively and physically.
I wanted to ask something about exercise. If that's a way to do that, to express that, or if you think exercise is maybe more of a proactive kind of thing.
Well, my line is also, you never see a child go, oh, I'm so angry, I think I'll go for a run.
True.
Right? You know, it's what we've done. And it, of course, it moves out a little bit of that energy. But again, if we're, say, now talking about anger, because it's different than the fear, that what we want to do is we want to move that energy, that hot, aggressive energy out. So something like kicking a soccer ball can be very, very satisfying and move that energy, you know, someplace safe, and we're kicking the heck out of something inanimate, not another person, and not throwing plates, but we're moving that energy out. I'll have people, I get old phone books at the recycle center and a clear plastic tube that's flexible, and put down a stack and say, all right, pound the heck out of this. And what's so great is that with hard, you know, hard and fast and with abandon, is pages start flying. And, you know, at first people go, no, this is stupid, I don't want to do that, and maybe I'll demonstrate it a little bit. But the noises feel so good. After a while, it's like I'll get people calling me, hey, Jude, I need to come in and see you. I need to get my anger out. But we can find a way to do that on our own. We don't have to come to a therapist in order to move out that energy, whether it's we can push against the wall really hard, whoa, or stomp around, you know, stomp really, really hard. And while I'm stomping, I just go, oh, I just feel so angry, whoa, whoa, and stomp, 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 or push, or, you know, yell into a pillow, or, you know, be a pillow, something, whatever will move that energy. That's what we weren't taught, is the emotions are just energy, and we just have to move that energy out, and the whole thing shifts for us.
It comes on back. We have an email from Dawn in Klamath Falls, and her question is, when a relationship ends because one person decides a gut feeling it will not work, how can the person who is rejected not feel sad or angry and keep a positive attitude?
Well, that's a really good question. And the answer to it is you should feel sad. That's normal. And you and it's very legit to feel anger about that. So it's not like you have to go, I've got to move on. It's like I've got to honor the emotions that I'm feeling. But while I'm crying, I don't go, oh, poor me, I'll never find anybody else. Oh, I've been rejected. Oh, that means I'm not okay. That's not good thinking. But I need to cry because I feel so sad. And a beautiful word to say while we're crying is goodbye. Thank you, goodbye. And just allow ourselves to cry about that loss. It's a hurt. It's a loss. It's legit. So I say, Don't try to circumvent the emotion. Go right into it. You know, a few minutes here, and then I'll be able to do my day. Or maybe I have to sneak away at lunchtime and cry for another couple minutes. That's just fine.
It's part of the normal process.
Exactly.
We're speaking today with Jude Bijou. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist, 30 years of experience. And from that experience, she's written a book called Attitude Reconstruction, a blueprint for building a better life. If you'd like to join us here on The Exchange with a question for her in the Medford Ashland area, 541-552-6782, anywhere across the area, 800-838-3760. And of course, we'll take some questions online as well. JX@JeffNet.org. We're going to take a short little break here, and we'll be back with your questions for Jude right after this. Welcome back. We are speaking this morning with Jude Bijou. She is the author of Attitude Reconstruction, a book that's a blueprint for building a better life. She is a marriage and family therapist with more than 30 years of experience. And in working with her clients, she's come up with a way to deal with some negative emotions in our life, expressing those and trying to move to a happier place. Jude, we've touched a little bit on your second and third tools, thoughts and intuition. Was there anything else you wanted to elaborate on those?
On those points, or do you want to go to the fourth tool?
Whichever you think. If you think we've covered those adequately. I did have one question about intuition. Earlier, I'd asked about, based on negative experiences that we've perhaps had, if we don't trust our intuition, are people also afraid of their intuition? Is that possible?
Yes, absolutely. Again, we've got a lot of emotions, or we've got a lot of messages that put that down. And say, you know, buck up and just do what needs to be done, rather than, no, if I really want to feel good about myself and the decisions that I made so that I can move forward, I need to start trusting that. I need to take the time to just check through and make sure that that feels right, whatever action I'm going to take. And if it does, great. And if it doesn't, let me think it through again, or let me wait a minute before I go ahead and take that action.
Well, let's talk about that fourth tool that you mentioned, speech.
All right. What is very lovely is that I realized that there are only four rules of good communication. We've got four rules that are for bad communication, but four rules for good communication. And they also, when I say good communication, they're going to bring us more joy, love, and peace. and less sadness, anger, and fear. And the first rule is to stay specific. And that is that we, and naturally, when we're talking about medicine, mathematics, directions, traffic rules, computers, manufacturing, cooking, we're always dealing in specifics. They're all run by specific things, but nobody told us that our communication needs to be specific. So that means that rather than going, you're always like that, and you never do this, and remember this, and bringing in all, let's say, lumping and jumping everything into whatever one particular topic at a time. This is what the topic that I'd like us to talk about. This is what I have something I need to say. Stick to that specific topic, what you feel about it, and what you specifically might want to make that different or change in the future. But so we have to stay specific one event at a time. We can handle all of them, the 10, 20, 30 topics, but one at a time. So that's a really important rule. And the more we are specific, the less fear we will feel and the more peaceful, because people will be able to understand us because we're talking about a specific thing.
You'll minimize those mistakes that people encounter, yeah.
Yeah, because it's so vague, I don't know really what you're talking about. But if I'm going, this is the topic, this is what I want to talk about, okay. And then what happens is, of course, we dart, one topic reminds us of something else, and we start to throw them all in. No, let's finish this topic first, then we'll handle another one. But I see a lot of couples, and this is really the basis of so much of relationship disintegration, is that we weren't taught how to communicate constructively. And so we just drift apart because it's not worth it to even try. But we start to deal in specifics, and we've got one of the rules down.
We have a couple of questions from email. One's an anonymous email. The writer would like to know, does your guest have any experience with reevaluation counseling?
Absolutely, I do. That's what really was the first thing that that keyed me in to the really fundamental importance of emotions. That's because I didn't grow up going, oh, I think I'll cry, I think I'll shake and shiver, I think I'll pound the heck out of a phone book. I didn't, but that's what I learned from reevaluation counseling. That was really the roots that then I built the attitude reconstruction on. Deal with your emotions, are okay to express them.
Lydia, with no location given for us, asks a question, wants to know if you've heard about the book, The Revolutionary Trauma Release Process by David Burchelli.
I have heard about it, but I have not read it.
Okay.
That's I believe I have a copy of it, and I am going to pull that back out and take a look at it.
Let's talk a little bit about that fifth tool, actions, and how that interacts with this.
Well, if it's okay, Milt, I'd like to go back to the fourth tool, the communication, just a little
sure.
bit. Sure. Because we've got one rule. We know we need to stay specific. But the second thing is that we need to talk about ourselves. That's that I. And, you know, we sort of say, oh, we teach that to little kids, but not really. What happens when we're feeling angry is that our energy goes out there. You're not being the way you're supposed to be, and you didn't do this. That's not good communication. The good communication is when we're dealing about a specific, the first rule, and talking about ourselves. That's what's true for me about that topic. So I want this, I felt this way, this is what it reminded me of, this is what I need to do about it. But when we're talking about ourselves, we're sharing what's true for ourselves.
And I was just going to say, as a society, we're kind of discouraged from doing that, aren't we?
Exactly. But what happens when we're talking about the other, unless we're talking positive, I can talk about you as long as I'm saying nice things. But it's like, you did this and you're like this. That's not going to get understanding. Whenever anybody starts telling us about ourselves, you-ing us, we just go, forget it. But the power comes from sharing about ourselves, about specific things. So, and it's hard. It's a 180-degree circle. Well, what's true for me? What am I really feeling? not what did he do or what did she do or what's the situation is. Well, what do I feel? What do I need to do about it? What's going on for me? So that it brings us back, because that's back to the self. This is the only domain we really have. This is what's true for me about specific situations. And then I would love to hear you talk about what's true for you about that situation. But we're sharing about ourselves, and then we can put it together, and together find that we put our eyes together. But we need that power of talking about ourselves.
Yeah, we've seen in some of these public confessional outlets everything from the Jerry Springer show to, you know, Facebook, where people will post seemingly anything on it. Are these healthy outlets? Is this a very different thing from what you're talking about?
That's very different, because those are filled with so much, youing, talking about what the other person did and talking in big generalities. It's like if we take the drama out of the whole communication when we're just in that plain thing, this is what I need to talk about. This is the topic that bothers me, and this is what I need to have different. This is what's not working for me. That we open the door for dialogue when we're sharing about ourselves.
Jude Bijou is our guest, and her book is entitled Attitude Reconstruction, A Blueprint for Building a Better Life. It discusses how we can have some negative emotions like sadness, anger, and fear, and she's offering us some tools that we can use to move to a better place where we can experience joy, love, and peace. If you have any questions for Jude, you can either call us at 541-552-6782 in the Medford-Ashland area, toll-free number 800-838-3760, and we've been taking questions online this morning as well. You can send us an email at jx@jeffnet.org. Anything else on speech, Jude, that you wanted to mention?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked, Milt. Yes, sir, I'd like to go over those two other rules. Because the third rule is kindness. So eyes and specifics, and then be kind. Look for solutions. Look for the positive. Look for what is going to move things forward. Look for appreciation, praise, all of those kind of things. Increase the amount of love. Those are positive things. So rather than looking at the half empty, we look at the half full. What do I appreciate? There's stuff that's not going on that I need us to talk about, but what's good there? What can I do to balance that off and to be genuine, but to look for kindness, and speak about what we appreciate, what's going to help move things forward. That's the third rule. And luckily, the fourth rule isn't about talking. The fourth rule is we got to listen for 50% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we only have three rules for talking: eyes, specifics, and kindness. And the fourth rule is listening. Now, when I teach a communication class here in Santa Barbara, one of the first things is like, who feels like they are listened to enough? And maybe out of a class of 30 people, one person raises their hand.
Yeah. You look at symptomatically, you look no further than Congress, and it seems so divisive in our country right now that nobody can talk to one another anymore. I mean, is that symptomatic of where we're at?
Yes, because it's on all levels. It goes from governments to down to businesses, down to schools, to relationships, to how we're talking to ourselves. That whole thing, we're so much into those communication violations, those huge generalities, the never and always and everybody and nobody, and the use of what you did and the negative, that we're not able to communicate. And that's where good communication brings love, brings connection. We can understand each other. We can give to each other. We can work together. But it's on all levels. We just know we weren't taught that if we follow these rules, we can start to understand each other and work together.
We have just a few minutes left. If you have a question for Jude, 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782 in the Medford-Ashland area. Are we ready for the fifth tool now?
We are. We certainly can be. And the fifth tool is action. So I've taken care of my emotions. I'm going to move them out in a constructive way. And just, again, if it's embarrassing at first, but find a safe place and do it. we've gotten some thoughts, and if a person goes to the website, there's lists of reliable truths, and you can just pick two or three and start to think them and start to replace your old thoughts with that. The third is, we talked about, is intuition. I'm just going to look inside and check with my inner barometer a little bit. And the fourth rule is, all right, I'm going to stop you and so much. And when yous come at me, because you'll start to, once you go, okay, well, let me try this youing thing and stop youing and talk about myself instead, you'll realize how much youing there is around you. And what I say there is become the matador and let those yous go by. You don't have to answer all the you, you'll never win.
Right.
So you stick with that. So that now the communication is better and we're ready to take action. And the thing about action is small steps, small doable steps towards your goal.
Can you work us through like a concrete example of something every day? This, I'm not talking about like a major problem in our lives usually, but something that maybe we all experience and how you would use those tools to work through that.
Uh-huh. Well, let's say something happens. Maybe you get slighted and you get your feelings hurt. Okay, somebody says something, it's a partner or so on, says something and it hurts. Now, if I really feel like, oh, I've got a lot of accumulated sadness, I might go and have a little bit of a cry. It's all right. I just go and cry for a couple minutes, not go, you know, how terrible he is and, oh, I'm so unworthy. But I'm just sad. That hurt. I just need to cry. Then we can go, okay, now I'm ready for a truth. Well, what's the truth? You know I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing the best I can. I can speak up. I'm doing the best I can. I need to talk about it. That's the kind of self-talk, that's that using my thinking to help me take care of whatever that comment was. So now my emotions are gone. I have sort of realigned my thinking. I can do this. I can speak up. I'm doing fine. I just need to speak up. And then we turn into our intuition. Well, what do I really need to say? Well, I need to just get the courage to go and say, hey, you know what? You said that, you know, that I'm a terrible housekeeper, you know, that I'm just like a slob. That really hurt my feelings. And so I'm going to then go and figure out maybe that if that's what's inside feels like, that's what I need to say, then, all right, let me go. When am I going to talk with that person? Oh, maybe wait till after dinner, whatever. Find that appropriate time and talk just about that specific thing. So we're not talking about all the terrible things that the person has said to you. It's just when you called me a slob, I felt really, really sad. I really got my feelings hurt. And I would really appreciate it, right? You know, I would really like it. I really love you and so on. I'm not breaking up with you or I'm not getting a divorce. But I would really appreciate it if you wouldn't use those kind of words because, you know, I'm really trying to keep the house clean.
Our guest today has been Jude Bijou, and her book is entitled Attitude Reconstruction, A Blueprint for Building a Better Life. It moves us from some negative emotions like sadness, anger, and fear to a more positive place, some joy, love, and peace. Jude, it's been a pleasure talking to you today, and best of luck.
Well, I thank you so much. People can go to the website and take a survey.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That's it for today's exchange. You can find out more about this program and subjects and suggest a guest at jeffexchange.org. If you're listening in the morning, the takeaway is coming up next. If you're listening to the evening rebroadcast, we'll be followed by news from the BBC. On Monday, we'll talk about genetic testing that is now available to patients in the Rogue Valley. And we'll also talk about a little bit about some housing options through the Access Agency. And how those implement programs in Jackson County. Have a good weekend.